And good morning to you. Welcome to the show. We want to say a shout out this morning to Terry. We want to thank you for always listening. The Back Nine Boys Golf Show is brought to you by Bridgestone Golf. Play the ball that is fit for you. By Kent Wool, the world's best sock. And by Sea Palms Resort, where good things are happening. Thanks for being with us. And on the show, we're going to talk with PGA Tour pro Josh Teeter about the different kind of crazy season and what is next for him this year. Then we'll talk shoes with Steve Gray, VP of Sales for Duca del Cosma, an Italian golf shoe company that is now being introduced in the United States. And then we'll talk with Georgia Southern's golf team coach, Carter Collins, about his unbelievable year. We'll talk about the season, his award as Sunbelt's Coach of the Year, and Stephen Fisk is Men's Golfer of the Year. Truly a great season for Georgia Southern golf. But first up is PGA Tour pro Josh Teeter. Josh and I talked yesterday at the Sea Island Golf Performance Center after his workout, and I asked him, what was it like for you during this crazy COVID situation?
Yeah, Rich, you know, it's like nothing we've seen. You know, it was a lot of time off there in the beginning once they canceled the players, and at home with the family a lot more than I'd been, which was nice, and some time that I'll cherish forever. But then when we kind of saw the Colonial was going to happen and we got, you know, within a couple weeks of that, it was kind of time to not just keep – you know, I had been playing some, you know, recreational golf with some guys around here, but not real serious, and it was time to get after it and try to get ready for the last stretch and get to the playoffs. But, you know, I didn't play like I wanted to the last couple months, but, hey, I got another chance this fall to get started again. So using this time here at home to get ready.
And so when you say you didn't play very well, you're kind of working on some things. What are you working on, or what would you have liked to have improved besides play better?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all about putting. And if I putt well and I'm confident on the greens, that frees up everything else in the game. And plenty of looks every day on the course, I feel like. And, you know, I just hadn't made enough. So that's going to be my focus for sure.
And I know sometimes when you're, you know, kind of pressing a little bit, you know, you kind of put more pressure on the other parts of your game. If your putting is off, you're trying to hit your irons closer than maybe you would have before. So how do you handle that during the season, especially when you're in the middle of competition?
Well, I didn't do it very well, so I'm still trying to figure that out. You know, I think I've learned, and I'm trying to adopt this philosophy. And in those times is when you've got to be more patient, more consistent in what you do. A long time ago, I worked with a sports psychologist that said, when you're on, that's when you're more aggressive. That's when you aim more at the pin. When you're not, that's when you play more conservative. And you know, I think that kind of keeps you in that ballpark of a couple under par scores instead of. When you get more aggressive and everything's not clicking, you're going to shoot over par.
You know, and, you know, you being on or off on your game is much different than myself. I feel like I'm always off. But putting does save your game for most of the time. I mean, you could make a couple of putts and you kind of all of a sudden get a new attitude towards the rest.
No doubt. I mean, on the fourth hole of the day, you hit a chip to 6 feet and you make a nice putt to save par. Like, that's a momentum builder versus the opposite, you know. So anytime you can see a putt go in early in the round, or, you know, let's say you make a long one on the first hole for birdie, like, you're like, all right, here we go. This is going to be great. I'm putting well. But it can kind of work the other way, I guess, if you're not seeing them go in. So I've got to be strong enough to have that positive mentality and outlook when they're not going in to believe the next one's going to go in. You know, I'm a big basketball fan, and what do they tell shooters to keep doing?
Keep shooting.
That's right. So we're going to keep putting.
Well, you don't really have a choice. But so you've been working out with Randy here at the GPC. What are you working on? What do you feel like he's trying to help you get stronger?
Yeah, I've had some trouble with my left hip a little bit, just some inflammation, and just trying to kind of get that more mobile and, you know, doing some exercise for balance and strengthening my glutes and just all around, you know, healthier. You know, traveling for 7 or 8 weeks in the gym as much as I probably should have, just trying to kind of get back on top of it and get a good bag. Play a few Corn Ferries when I wasn't in the tour events. And looking back, I probably should have at least skipped one of those to kind of be ready and fresh for wherever it was. I can't remember. Minnesota or Truckee, California, one of those two. So I kind of got worn out there toward those. But I had a week off before Greensboro and felt good going in there. And, you know, I knew I had to finish top 10 and made the cut. But like you said, I think I tried to press a little more on Sunday, knowing I needed to shoot about 9 under.
Yeah. And, bases that we're shooting.
Yeah,
right?
And got off to a slow start that day. So ended up shooting one over in the last round and getting a little time off. So we're going to try to come back swinging here next month.
And that's tough when you're on, you know, the leg you were on and you're trying to get back and you make the cut. And all of a sudden you see these 63, 62, 64s, and that kind of puts a little bit more pressure on you, especially if you're struggling with putting.
For sure, yeah. I mean, you know, when those scores are low, guys are making putts. And, you know, I don't want to harp on it too much because the more you talk about it, the more it's going to be in your mind. But, you know, I'm just going to start putting in a practice plan and sticking to it and just hopefully the consistency of doing that the results will come instead of trying to find the results right away.
All right, how's it been for you in the past? You've had fans, you've had family, you've had friends that have come to tournaments and seen you, you know, seeing the guys, and you see a lot of the fans, and they can help and they can also hurt mm-hmm. as far as your game. How has it been playing PGA Tour and Corn Ferry Tour events without fans?
It's quite different for sure. You know, some of the big events, you can hear the roars throughout the crowd, you know, throughout the course. You know, having familiar faces there walking with you can always be helpful. And now it's like, you know, just the two or three of us in a group out there with our caddies and some volunteers walking around. You know, it's in a way, it's nice and refreshing. There's not many distractions, but we know that we need the fans. And I feed off the fans when they're there. You know, you're getting going, you make a nice putt, they react, and, you know, they get you going. So hopefully we can have them back as soon as possible.
And so when you're out there and there's no fans and you're trying to, you know, build, you got to basically do that with you and your caddy if you're kind of getting on a roll.
Yeah, for sure. There's no doubt about it. There's nothing there. There's been a few events where there's, you know, yards or, you know, somebody's built a little tent in their yard or over the fence. They can kind of peer over. And so you can get a little bit of a crowd and a clap here and there, but nothing like normal.
And also, since there's no fans, there's no stands. And sometimes the stands in the tournaments that you've played in the courses,
yeah,
with the stands there, you kind of know what's behind it. But when there's no stands, some of those holes, you don't know.
Yeah, it's way different. I remember going to Colonial, the first event, and 13th hole, you know, there's usually a big grandstand, two or three decker behind the green, and there's nothing there. And you could just see forever back there, and there's a river back there. It's actually pretty good landscape back there. But you know, before, you could hit it a little long, it might bounce off there and bounce back on down on the green. But there's not that anymore.
All right. So, what are your goals coming up? You've got a tour schedule starting up in September. So, what are you wanting to do for the next season?
I mean, I want to use this fall to get a kickstart on the 2021 season, and let's win a tournament, you know, and then we can set our own schedule so it doesn't set the schedule for us. And let's just try to get better every day and let the results take care of themselves.
Do you see yourself now as you get older wanting it more and more?
I think so, a little bit. You know, I had a really close chance there in Puerto Rico a couple weeks before the COVID strike. Mm-hmm. And I played well. I think I beat the field by four, and Victor Hovland birdied the last hole to beat me by one. So, I mean, I don't know what else I could do in that situation. I played well. I know I can still do it. I know I can do it more consistently than I've done it. And that's the total goal. And, you know, I just can't get caught up in the results. I got to do what I got to do every day to get better and, you know, believe that it's going to happen.
That is Josh Teeter, and true story. You got to believe and believe in your game, and we just hope that he gets there, and he will. Josh Teeter, PGA Tour Pro. Coming up also, we have Steve Gray of Duca del Cosma, a golf shoe that is now trying to enter into the U.S. market. And then Carter Collins, the golf coach, Sunbelt Coach of the Year from Georgia Southern, will be coming up right after we talk about what's coming up for you tonight for dinner. It's a deep dish pizza from CJ's Italian Restaurant. Check out their full menu at cjsitalianrestaurant.com. You know they're known for their deep dish, but they are also known for excellent customer service, especially during what we're going through now. They make it so easy. Call in your order, give them your name, drive up. They've got parking places for you. They make it easy. They love having you come over and say hey and order from them. Order whatever you want, from the deep dish to the thin crust. Everything is made fresh every day. But you order, you drive your car in, they will come out to your car, take your and bring your order to you, all fresh, which it's made every day. So check out cjsitalianrestaurant.com. Their full menu is right there. Ada and Graham are just wonderful to work with, and they just do a great job, as does all their staff. cjsitalianrestaurant.com.
I'm Blair O'Neill here with Cobra Puma, and you're listening to the Back Nine Boys Show.
And welcome back. I'm Rich Stiles. Thank you for being with us. Europe is a beautiful place to visit. It's also a beautiful place for art and design of new golf shoes. And coming up, we have on the phone Steve Gray, VP of Sales for Duca del Cosma. Good morning, Steve, and welcome to the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
Well, good morning. Thanks, Rich. Happy to be here.
Well, we are happy to have you here. Tell us about Duca del Cosma golf shoes. Not many probably know about it. Maybe in Europe they do, but you're just kind of bringing it to the U.S.
Yes, correct. This is our first year for full distribution in the U.S. Duca del Cosma is Italian fashion footwear. It was created by Baldovino Matsiazzo. He was an Italian designer back in 2004, and he looked at the golf footwear market, thought that it was fairly boring with white, gray, and black shoes.
Right.
And being a fashion designer, he thought that we needed a little bit more of a sophisticated fashion brand in golf.
So what is your strategy? Here's the thing. I mean, the golf shoe business, golf apparel business, is extremely competitive, not only in Europe, but I'm sure here in the U.S. too. But what is your strategy in order to build the brand here in the U.S., Steve?
Well, the strategy here really is based upon who we are, the tenants as a company. First and foremost, we're a European company. Our shoes are European leather. They're handmade and bench made in small companies in Portugal. So we think that we make the finest quality footwear in the golf business. Detailed sewing, the best materials. But in addition to that, we have the Italian fashion component that other companies just don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not minimizing those companies. They just don't do those things.
Right.
So we think we have more handsome shoes. So we're able to deliver quality, fashion, performance, and comfort. And so those four tenets are what we're really building the brand on here in the U.S.
So what does being named by Golf Digest as the best golf shoe of the year mean to your brand?
Well, I mean, it literally just puts the stamp of approval in what we say about ourselves.
Right.
That we have a quality golf shoe. So obviously the audience is familiar with all the popular brands here in the United States. And so for a shoe that they've not heard of to be named the best golf shoe by Golf Digest certainly says something about the quality of our footwear.
Yeah, it is always more important for someone else to say how good you are compared to you saying how good you are.
Absolutely. And, Golf Digest, with their hot list on golf clubs and selecting things, they've got a lot of products to select, and there's a lot of brands worldwide, so
yeah.
That was a fairly coveted award for us.
Yeah. What kind of response have you gotten, Steve, from folks that you've been showing the shoe and talking with?
We've had a great response, obviously, with all that we're experiencing since March.
Yeah.
It's been a slower start for us than we would have liked, but I just recently came back from a trade show in West Palm Beach. Seeing clubs down there, the buyers love our product. when they sit, listen, and understand who we are and what we do, first and foremost, you know, how well the shoes are made.
They're right.
Awed by the fashion design. So we do, we're being received very, very well right now.
And, you know, when you sit down with the buyers, what are some of their comments that, I mean, obviously the shoes are very different from what is out there on the market now?
Well, yeah, I met with a golf professional at a very prestigious club in Orlando just the other day, and his comments that these were just superb shoes was very impressed with the quality of the product and then the breadth of the fashion design. You know, we have a lot of animal prints for the women's, more traditional shoes for men. But we do a lot better job with color coordination,
right,
and different fabrications. So
yep.
That really is what sets us apart.
Yeah, I've looked on the website, and also it's amazing what they look like. They are different, and they're just stand out from what else is out there.
Well, yeah, absolutely. We're not an athletic company, so we're not making athletic designs. We're not a mesh company. You know, trying to make mesh lightweight shoes.
Right.
So I think that it resonates with a lot of consumers that this is more of a throwback in quality and construction to what shoes used to be, but with fashion that really meets the demands of what they wear on the golf course today.
Well, Steve, you brought up an interesting point. Do you think there's too much out there of the mesh golf shoe trying to make it so lightweight and it's I don't think it's as strong as when you're playing the game of golf. They're more comfortable, but I'm not sure they help your game as much.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, my heritage within the shoe business, I worked for a very famous athletic footwear company at one time, and mesh, lightweight, rubber outsole product, when you pick it up initially, boy, that sounds fantastic.
Right.
I look around the store, it's really good.
Right.
Now go walk 5 miles over hill and dale playing that shoe, and now let's find out how, you know, comfortable it is and how
yeah.
it supports your feet. So
yeah.
with our product, in addition to this quality in this fashion, we have a performance aspect. We make two types of outsoles and materials. We make TPU, which is thermal polyethylene, and TR, which is thermal rubber. But those are very supportive materials. They're light,
right.
flexible, but they don't torque when you swing. So we're really, you know, trying to focus in on how can we support your foot. After all, golf is an athletic sport, and you're trying to do something athletic, so the shoe should support your foot while you're trying to play.
Yeah, all right. Last week we had Mark Simon on from Reed Exhibits talking about the PGA show in January. I mean, it's still up in the air whether or not there is going to be a show. I'm sure you guys have sat down and talked about if there is a show, what we're going to do, and if there isn't a show, what we're going to do. So what have you guys been talking about in the boardroom about what you guys will do?
Well, if there is a show, we'll certainly attend.
Okay.
You know, we had acquired a better location at the show. We had made a bigger booth
okay.
to make a bigger presence. This would be the fourth year for Duca attending the show. So we were excited, and we'll be excited to attend. If not, we have done a lot of video presenting the line. We have video presentations. We do a lot of Zoom for our customers
okay.
on the B2B side, so we can expose the brand to our golf pros the best way we can.
Well, one of the things that I find interesting on the website is that Frank Van Wezel, the founder, has his email address printed inside every shoe.
Absolutely. Frank is a unique individual.
Yeah.
Your listeners might remember back to the Hi-Tech brand, Hi-Tech golf shoes. Hi-Tech's still in business. Frank was the founder of Hi-Tech. He founded several other companies, and he acquired Duca del Cosmo back in 2015, and he's used his expertise to really build the brand to 30 countries worldwide. But yeah, his personal email address is inside the box, and if anybody emails him, he will email back. I mean, he is very hands-on about wanting feedback from the consumer.
And as a As you work with this company, how much does that impress you that the founder is willing to put his email inside the shoe, and even more that he'll respond?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just really a rare thing that a company really cares what the consumers think, let alone the founder and the owner of the company wanting that feedback and then being able to respond. But that is the culture that he and his wife Caroline have really built with the company, that they, from A to Z, they care about the product, they care about the people, and they really want to make a good product for the golfers.
Well, give us your website so our listeners who may not be familiar with the shoe can go to it and take a look at all the many different styles and colors.
Well, that's great. They need to go to DucaDelCosma.us. Make sure they do that .us, otherwise they'll get another European website, and that'll have some different shoes on it than the ones we have here in the U.S. So DucaDelCosma.us.
Okay, and how many different styles, Steve, are there? I mean, is that an easy question for you to answer or a hard one?
Absolutely. There are 11 men's styles. Well, here in the United States, we have selected the best of the best.
Okay.
Around the world, we're distributed to 30 countries, so there's a different product mix in different places in the world.
Right.
Here we have 11 men's styles. We have 9 women's styles, which is unique in the golf business, and that totals that totals 49 colors or 49 SKUs. So there's quite a selection of footwear there.
Well, Steve, I can't thank you enough for your time. Great to hear from you and great to have you on the show. Thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Steve Gray, VP of Sales for DucaDelCosma, new golf shoe from Italy. Take a look at their website, DucaDelCosma.us, to get the right one, and you'll find out more about them. And we're going to find out more about Carter Collins and the Georgia Southern Golf Team, award-winning Georgia Southern Golf Team, right after this on the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
This is Mark Simon, Vice President for PGA Golf Exhibitions, and you're listening to the Back Nine Boys Radio Show.
And welcome back. I'm Rich Stiles, and we'd like to welcome Sunbelt's Coach of the Year of Georgia Southern's golf team, Carter Collins. Good morning, Coach. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How are y'all?
I'm so glad that you're here. We appreciate it. You've had a pretty, pretty good year, haven't you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The team has performed very well in the classroom and on the golf course. It's been a lot of fun to be a part of.
So prior to the season, did you think that you guys would have this kind of a result at the end?
You mean as far as golf or the...
Yes.
Yes, sir. I mean, we have high expectations of Georgia Southern. It's a program that's been very good since the early 1970s when they got started. But we also returned a lot of guys who had been on the previous team and had some national championship experience and some great Sun Belt Conference experience, regional experience. So we had a good feeling that, you know, the team was going to be able to perform at a high level. But I'd say they exceeded expectations, especially playing so well at a couple of different tournaments, the JT Poston Invitational, where I believe they shot 47 under and broke some school records.
Was
incredible to be a part of.
Mm.
And then winning a tournament in the spring at Colleton River against a loaded field was also a great win. And not saying we didn't think we could do it, but, you know, golf's funny sometimes, and all you can do is kind of play your best and see what happens. But very, very proud and impressed by how well they played last year.
Well, several of your players from this year's team won All-America honors, first, second, or third, but one of your players, Stephen Fisk, won Player of the Year. What does that mean to you, and what did that mean to the team?
For Steven, I think it's recognition that's well-deserved. He had an incredible golf career at Georgia Southern over 4 years, arguably the best career we've ever had at Georgia Southern, and that's saying a lot considering, you know, Gene Sowers, Jody Mudd, Aaron Price. I mean, you could go down the list. Scott Wolfis down there at St. Simon's,
right,
for All-American. But for Steven to do what he did his senior year, winning 6 times, finishing runner-up at the national championship, making the Walker Cup team, first-team All-American. All those things were incredibly deserved. Very hard-working young man, very gritty young man, and, again, he earned all of it. What it means for the team is, you know, it shows everyone else that you can accomplish whatever you want to at Georgia Southern. It shows everybody if you just put in the work every day, do what you can, and go at it with a gritty, tough mindset, that anything is possible, because Steven pretty much achieved everything you possibly can in his college career, finishing top three in the Haskins Award this past year, which is basically our Heisman Trophy Award. Right. So all those things combined really inspires and should be a good source of inspiration for the rest of the guys on the team.
Well, as you know, there's a lot of competition out there. What do you think the future holds for Steven Fisk?
Well, you guys know it as good as anybody. It's really hard, you know, to make it to that top-tier level. You got to have talent, which Steven definitely has. You got to have the work ethic, which he has. You got to have the mindset, which he has. But the part that, you know, a lot of people don't talk about very often, but is a big part of it, is just a little bit of luck sprinkled in.
Yeah.
You know, having your best rounds on a Monday that gets you into a tournament, and then playing your best that week that gets you into another tournament or gets you some status. Putting it all together on the right week is extremely difficult to do. And can Steven make it? Absolutely. Do I think he will make it? Absolutely.
Okay.
But there is no guarantee out there. You really have to get a little lucky along the way. And as long as he gets a little bit of that, I think he'll be just fine.
Well, you and I both know that, you know, there's been a lot of great college golfers that have achieved high awards and have high expectations after college to play. And there's just, as you said, so many things that have to go correct. And luck is one of them. But it's probably easy to be discouraged, especially with all the young, very talented, very strong players that are out there.
Yes, sir. I mean, a good example is Steven Fisk played in the Korn Ferry Tour Monday qualifier. It's probably been 3 weeks ago, maybe, in Texas. He went out there. He played wonderful, shot a bogey 364, and that got him into a 5-for-2 playoff. One guy birdied the first hole. Another guy stuck it, made birdie on the second hole.
Gee.
And Steven was coming home after shooting an incredible round at a championship course.
And, yeah.
But to your point, that's very that's something to pay attention to, is the, you know, making sure they don't get discouraged, because he's playing great. Bogey 364s don't fall off trees. There's only, you know, a handful of guys out there that can do those on a regular basis. And he just has to stay on the path. And it's the same advice I'd give anybody that's, you know, looking to tackle that bear of being a professional golfer. You have to maintain your confidence and know that, you know, you just got to do the work every single day and let it add up in the end. You can't control it. You can't go out there and try and force scores in qualifiers and tournaments, and you just got to play your game and see what happens.
Yeah, that is so true. I mean, you go out there and shoot a 64 and you're one of five that did. You get into a playoff and, you know, it's just amazing the scores that are out there and the amount of talent that's out there.
Yes, sir. I agree with that.
So what was your reaction to being named Sunbelt's Golf Coach of the Year?
Not much, to be honest with you. I mean, it's not really a reflection of me and how I coach. And, you know, there's some wonderful coaches in our conference. It's really just a reflection of how hard the guys work and how well they performed in tournaments. I don't believe I have much part in that. I think the guys are extremely talented. They were well talented before they got to Georgia Southern. Hopefully Georgia Southern has enhanced that a little bit. But overall, it's them doing the work. So it's just a reflection of how well they played.
How did you get the notice that you won that award?
We were in a practice round for the national championship in Arkansas, and some of the postseason awards for Sunbelt came through. Steven Fisk was player of the year, first team all conference, and I believe Ben Carr was second team all conference, Jake Maples, third team all conference. So there was some awesome student athlete recognition, and, you know, that it was part of those things. But again, I don't mean in disrespect to the award, but it's
right.
Something I've ever paid attention to. It's not a goal of mine. It's a nice pat on the back to the program for how well the players did and our assistant coach performed, and really it's a whole team award. And they put my job title on it, but it really has nothing to do with me. It's just a lot to do with the guys and how hard they work and what they accomplished.
Well, you're given credit where credit is due, but, you know, they also need a leader. It looks like you've done a great job. But tell us about the President's Award that the team or the school won.
So that's a cool award. It's the first time in the history of the program. That means the cumulative GPA for our program last year, which is everybody on the squad, we had a cumulative GPA of 3.5 or higher.
Wow.
We broke some GPA records last year, and you know, academics is the backbone of our program, but the thing I'm most proud of with this award is we achieved it during a pandemic year where things have been so out of the ordinary. So the guys were in the fall, everything was quote unquote normal with academics, and in the spring everything was normal until March, and then they were sent home and everything was put online, and our entire team had to adjust to learning every single class from a laptop computer. And that was difficult.
Right.
Study hall, getting tutoring, communicating with professors, all of that changed in an instant. So for the guys to go through that change, adapt, and still persevere to maintain some of the GPAs they earned was incredible. So to get that award is awesome, but to get it on the year that we just had,
right,
I think was even more impressive.
Yeah, when the pandemic and all that was announced, I know you were concerned. Everybody was concerned about, like, oh my gosh, what's next? But your guys came out strong, not only on grades, but also on their golf game efforts. But were you worried during that time of what was going to happen when eventually things started to come back as slowly as they did?
Yes, sir. I mean, when we found out was pretty tough. We were at our home event, the Shinko Invitational. Everything was ready for that. We had played our practice round. We were just wrapping up our practice round in the middle of the afternoon, and we started hearing some stuff that, you know, what may be coming down the pipe. And then eventually everyone got the tweet the NCAA sent out that, you know, spring sports were done. And my initial thoughts went right to the seniors. We had four of them last year, Lucas Alacupi, Alexander DeRosa, Jake Maples, and Brett Barron. Was them not having the moment of walking up a fairway knowing it's their last fairway in college golf, because that's
right,
the moment that every college golfer, I think, deserves. And I had one, and I'll never forget it. So my initial concern was for them. And then you start thinking big picture for the other guys, how, you know, we had goals for this year. You know, we wanted to compete well at the Shinko. We were playing really well coming into it. We wanted to make regionals. We wanted to punch our ticket to nationals back-to-back years. And all of those goals get wiped off the table.
Right.
So my initial concern was for the seniors. My overall concern was for the guys' mental health and making sure they were handling the adversity well. And it was a slow deal. Every day we're getting new information. Everything was changing. And then they announced that the seniors were allowed to come back, which was a very exciting news. Two of our seniors moved on. Alexander DeRosa got a great job offer in Atlanta that he couldn't pass up. And Lucas Alacupi was accepted in the UGA School of Accounting to get his master's degree. So he had some after-school plans already that he went ahead and did. And then Brett Barron and Jake Maples both decided they wanted to come back and compete their fifth year. So that was exciting to hear. On all accounts, proud of Alexander and Lucas for what they accomplished.
Sure.
But, you know, also proud of them for moving on post-career. But, yeah, there was a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel when they allowed the seniors to come back, because it gave us all something to look forward to. And with everything going on, that was important.
Yeah, you're right. Everything is in perspective. So with losing a couple seniors, having a couple come back for their fifth year, what does the team look like?
A lot of returners. You know, we returned eight. We have 11 on the roster, and we have three new freshmen. A lot of leadership is coming back. You know, a lot of starters are coming back. And these three freshmen are all expecting to play just as much as the returners. So I think the word that you can put with this team is depth. We have 11 strong. Again, they all expect to play. We can only play five, maybe six per week. So the competitiveness in qualifying to make the tournaments is going to be extremely high, which is a good problem for me.
Right.
And, yeah, overall team chemistry is extremely strong in this program, but leadership is as well. So to me, it's a really good balance.
So when you guys get ready to go out on the road and you've got to take your traveling team with you, what kind of games do you play or exercises do you go through to try and figure out who those five are going to be?
It's a good question. So I do things like probably majority of the programs in the country. We set up qualifiers. So if we have enough time, so if we have 2 weeks in between tournaments, we'll play an average of four or five rounds. And three or four of those spots for the next tournament will be set up by score. So it's just the low three or low four people go. And then there'll be a coach's pick or two in there set up just in case someone gets injured and can't play in a qualifier or, you know, doesn't feel well for one qualifier. That doesn't take them out of making the tournament if
okay.
they play well in the other round. So
okay.
we try and leave it in the players' hands as much as we can, but we do leave a little wiggle room just in case one of our guys gets hurt during qualifier. But just competition is the way we determine who goes to the next tournament.
All right, let's talk about talent. Let's talk about these freshmen coming in. How did you find out about these freshmen? Is it all done online and then you kind of make a decision and then start meeting with them either by Zoom or over the phone? How is the process that you go through, Carter?
That's another good question. So, you know, there's all kinds of rankings and scoring average and computer systems out there that a lot of coaches look at that help you kind of narrow down the field a little bit. And then during normal times, right now we're not allowed to go out recruiting, but during normal times we go out and we watch junior tournaments and we just, you know, watch as much golf as we can. And every now and then somebody catches your eye or you get a phone call from somebody recommending somebody, and just do your research, see if it's somebody that you think could be a good fit for your program academically, athletically, and socially. And then you just kind of keep going down that path. These three all came from three different recruiting backgrounds, three different recruiting stories, but, you know, they all ended up at Georgia Southern, which we're very lucky and thankful for. Luke Dashers out of Macon, graduated from FPD, wonderful young man, great student, decorated junior golf resume. He was the Georgia State Junior Champion in 2018, had a good shot to win it this past summer, finished third, I believe. Luke is just, his resume is incredible. I think he's got three or four SJGT wins and et cetera. Lindsey Cordell comes out of Rome, Georgia. Another fine young man, good student, explosive power. He's got the course record at retreat, which he set, I think, when he was 16 years old. He shot a 28 on the front nine and a 35 on the back, I think 63. I don't know if the course record still stands there. But
wow.
Lindsey's a powerful golfer, a lot of birdies. Just a great young man. We're excited to have him. And Lucas Hopkins comes to us from Thompson, Georgia. Just a little more raw than the other two. Started with junior golf a little bit later, but also equally as explosive as Lindsey. Great student, wonderful young man. All three will be great ambassadors for the program, so we're excited to have those three.
Coach, do you have certain areas that you feel you're likely to find better golfers, or are you just, it doesn't matter where they come from, what matters to you is all the stats and the things you look for and whether or not you can talk them into coming to Georgia Southern?
Yes, sir. It doesn't matter where they come from.
Okay.
You know, backgrounds, it doesn't matter. I just, you know, I fall back to Coach Lunsford. I feel like he sums it up pretty good. You know, we love good kids, we love good students, and we love to win. And I think that sums up the recruiting for most sports. It definitely does for us. We just want kids who want to fight for Georgia Southern, who want to work hard for Georgia Southern and work hard for their teammates, who want to make sure they get the work done in the classroom and can fight through adversity. Because our sport is a lot different than others. You know, once that van leaves for a tournament, there are student-athletes left at home that will not go to that tournament.
It's right.
Like basketball, football, or, you know, you can put them in for a few plays and bring them back out. Once that van goes, it's gone. So
yeah.
That's really hard to deal with, not being around your team and having to watch golf stat online. You know, I empathize with that. Our sport is pretty brutal with that, in that perspective. So making sure they can fight through adversity, miss a tournament, and make them even hungrier to make the next one is very important in our program. But overall, I think you want good kids. You want ones that really care about academics, and you want somebody that's going to fight for their teammates and fight for the university.
You bet. Well, Carter, we got to take a break. We got to fight for some commercials, and we'll be right back. So hang on with us. We'll be back with Carter Collins, golf coach at Georgia Southern, right after this on the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
Hi, everyone. My name is Allison Fillmore. I'm the executive director for the Tour Championship, and you're listening to the best show ever, the Back Nine Boys.
Oh, my gosh. You couldn't have paid her for that. Well, I could have, but it wouldn't have been any better than it was. So thanks, Allison, for that. Coach, we're on with Coach Carter Collins of Georgia Southern. And, Coach, let me ask you this. What traits are most important to you besides being able to play golf and all the stats that go with that as far as choosing guys to come and play at Georgia Southern?
That's a tough question. There's a lot of different, you know, attributes we look at. One that I'll fall back to that I spoke about a few minutes ago is just being able to fight through adversity. You know, a word that we use in our program a lot is grit. And I feel like to be successful in this sport, short-term or long-term, you have to have some grit. got to be able to get through some tough situations. And, you know, we've all played golf before where you double bogey the first hole when you had goals of shooting under par or winning a tournament, you know, and what do you do from that moment? Do you kind of feel sorry for yourself and think today's not my day, I just don't have it? Or do you put some grit in, do you look at it and go, okay, these next three holes I'm going to get back to where I need to get, and then I'm going to dominate the last 14.
Yeah.
To me, those are two completely different mindsets. And over a four-year college career, if you mix in that grit and sprinkle it in everything you do, it's amazing how much better you can be. And that's not just on the golf course, but you can be a better leader, a better student, and a better teammate if you just mix in some of that grit throughout your career. And I think you can apply that to your professional career or at any point before or after Georgia Southern.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with the grit. I mean, there's so many times that I would go out or friends of mine go out with expectations. And unfortunately, as you said, somebody double bogeys the first hole, where did their expectations go?
That's
totally
right.
Away.
Yes, sir. Expectations is something that we try not to believe in our program. They're imaginary. They're usually self-created. And they, more times than not, put more pressure on you than they do help you achieve your goal. And I think, you know, double bogeying the first hole is another good example of that. If you
right.
hit it on the range, the best you ever have in your life for 45 minutes, and you go to the putting green before you play and you make every single putt you look at, those expectations are going to fly through the roof that you're about to have a career round.
Yeah, exactly.
But we all know golf doesn't work that way. More times than not, when you have that thought, you hit a couple bad shots early, you miss a couple putts, and then all of a sudden you're scrambling to find it again, and, you know, that's when things kind of spiral out of control for a round. But if you can start every round with I wouldn't say the lowest expectations, but no expectations.
Right.
Going out there with trying to hit the first fairway, trying to hit the best putts you can all day, and you try and put some things that you can control into what you do, I just don't see how you can't be successful, especially long term.
You know, as I've watched golf over the years and have been involved in the golf industry, you know, I guess the look of the average golfer on tour in college has changed. I mean, it used to be, you know, you had guys who could play like John Daly who were not necessarily golf fit but could just hit the ball far and make some putts. And now it seems everybody is 5'10 or taller, thin as a rail, strong mentally and everything else. That's changed a lot, obviously, in this fitness world for young golfers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. And it's definitely changing rapidly in the college golf ranks as well. It's not the end-all, be-all. I agree with you. I think John Daly's and long hitters used to be a little bit of an anomaly, and now it seems to be the majority.
Right.
But you still got one of my favorite golfers, the Sea Island guy, Zach Johnson. I mean, his career has been incredible. Two major championship wins at two of the coolest courses in the world.
Yep.
He's had a Hall of Fame dream career, and he's done it without dominating golf courses. So there's a path for everybody. That's the cool thing about this sport. The majority of guys may be, you know, Brooks Koepka-ish or Cameron Champ-ish, where they just bomb it and hit it for miles and bomb and gouge every course. But there's also a path for anybody else that wants to be successful. It just means you have to be a little bit better in different areas. But college golf-wise, it hasn't changed my recruiting a whole lot. A lot of the guys hit it longer on average, but I'd say my recruiting philosophy hasn't changed a whole lot. I still want kids who can be strong course managers, you know, be tough on the course, and, you know, work hard in between tournaments. And that formula works pretty good for not just college golfers, but junior golfers and professional golfers. So, you know, there may be some longer hitters out there, but we focus on what we can get at Georgia Southern and trying to make them the best we can.
Yeah, and Coach, we've got about 30 seconds, but short game seems to be where you're really going to save your game or make your game. And you obviously, like many coaches out there and many golfers that are going through, would like to have that be the best that it can be.
Always, yes, sir. We're lucky at Georgia Southern to have one of the best short game facilities in the Southeast U.S., so we try and make sure the guys have access to that and make sure it's in top quality conditions. So practice on good short game facilities is the best way to get better with some good instruction. You can't go wrong.
Well, we appreciate it, and we'd like to maybe call you and schedule a Back Nine Boys visit if you can get us on campus.
Yes, sir. Y'all let me know when, and we'll make it happen.
All right. Appreciate it, Coach. Thanks for being with us, and congrats on the year, and congrats on your own award. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll tell the boys. Thank you all for having me.
All righty. Carter Collins, the Golf Coach Award-winning Sunbelt Coach of the Year on the Back Nine Boys Golf Show. We appreciate him taking the time, as well as our other guest, Steve Gray from Duca del Cosma, Italian Golf Shoes. And we also always want to thank Josh Teeter, PGA Tour Pro. Thank you for being with us on the Back Nine Boys. Heard every Saturday and Sunday from 8 to 9 on ESPN Coastal.com.